Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Relatable Podcast. Thank you guys for joining me on episode 2 of season 1. As you guys can tell by the title, we are going to just be talking about Black-owned businesses today, okay? I'm just compelled to talk about this topic because as a Black woman, supporting Black business is something that I feel is my duty. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure a lot of Black people feel that way. However, there are a lot of issues with Black-owned businesses that make it hard for us to support them. And I just kind of want to address those issues, more specifically because of a recent encounter I've had with a Black-owned business. Now, mind you, I'm someone who's an avid shopper, so I'm consistently supporting businesses, whether they're Black, white, Latina, like I'm supporting. And I tend to support a lot of Black businesses, and I'm going to be honest here, okay? I've had more bad experiences than I've had good experiences with Black-owned businesses. And I want to continue to support and see you guys grow, but it's going to be hard to support if we're not seeing any growth or if we don't see that you're trying to grow. Now, this isn't a bashing session. I'm not here to bash my people. I'm simply here to provide insight and offer a different perspective so that you guys can become better. It's not to say, you know, you're horrible, you're bad, like you shouldn't. No, this is to provide insight, to give feedback, to see where you can grow and you can get better, because I'm not the only person who feels this way, and I'm not the only person saying this. I've seen far, far too many comments of our fellow Black people saying the same thing, saying that they experience a lot of difficulties purchasing from Black-owned businesses. And that's actually very sad, and it's discouraging, because all you see people say is support Black businesses, support, put your money into Black businesses and not these white businesses. But how can we do that if you guys aren't making the transaction easy for us? Now, some of the things that I've heard and that I've also experienced is that Black-owned businesses are unprofessional, overpriced, have horrible customer service, and don't actually care about the actual craft of their business. Now, I'm someone who values the heck out of customer service. As someone who's worked in customer service, as someone who provides customer service, it's highly important to me. I care more about that than the product that you're selling me, because what I'm going to remember the most is the experience, is the interaction that I've had with you as an entrepreneur. And if my experience was bad with you as an entrepreneur, I'm probably not going to want to buy from you again. And I'm pretty sure this is the case with a lot of people. And that's all subjective to what you value. So some people may value customer service, like myself, more than they value the product. Some people may value exclusivity. So some people may care to say, you know what, I was able to get this and no one else has it. Some people value that more. Some people value quality more. Some people value price more. So it all depends on what you value. And I kid you not, I don't know too many people who are going to say they don't value customer service. It's just, you're hardly ever going to hear that. Most people, if they've had a bad experience purchasing from a business, they're never going to purchase from that business again. So in saying that, let me just provide a little bit of background on my professional experience. So I was a healthcare manager. I worked in customer service. I've worked in retail, and I currently own a small business. I'm a makeup artist, so I'm catering to the general population. Regardless of your age or gender, I'm doing your makeup. So I know what it takes to be professional. I know what it takes to cater outstanding customer service. And if you look at my reviews on my makeup page, you'll see that two of the main things that I'm praised for is my professionalism and how comfortable my setting is, how comfortable my environment is. But not only that, anyone can tell you I am passionate about what I do. And that's the key factor that I feel is missing in a lot of these entrepreneurs' formula today. No one is really passionate about what they're doing. It's more about them getting bragging rights to say, I'm a businessman or I'm a businesswoman, or simply just about them getting popularity or about them getting a bag. And when you're running a business, you can't have that mindset. You have to have passion in what you're doing. And that's the number one thing you have to think about when you want to start up a business. Do I actually care for the product that I'm selling? Do I give a damn about it? Second, you should think about the population that you're serving. Who is my targeted audience that I'm selling this product to? Who do I want to buy this product? Then third is purpose. Why am I doing this? How is this helping the community? How is this helping society? How am I helping this person by making this product and selling it to them? Those are the top three things that you should be thinking about when you start your business. Passion, purpose, and your targeted audience. Then everything else can follow. Then you can get into the formulas and the calculations and selling in numbers and stuff. Then you can get into all of that. But the thing that I'm noticing is today's society, today's culture is focused on popularity, not even talent. Popularity. Not talent, not how much you're delivering, not customer service. They just care that they can get that because it has that name attached to it. And that's allowing us to kind of accept any kind of treatment. And no one should accept a certain level of treatment just because. And people have gotten comfortable with that. Not even just when it comes to businesses, even when it comes to their romantic or platonic relationships, you accept a certain amount of treatment just because you're comfortable. And you accept treatment you shouldn't. Like, this is stuff that you don't even have to go through. But it's more based on instinct than your logic. Everything you do should have a logical reasoning behind it, not on instinct. I've seen Black-owned businesses where they were rolling by getting over on people, and then they just met the wrong one, and that person would put them on blast, whether it was publicly on Instagram, on Twitter, Facebook. It should never get to a point where a customer has to feel that they need to do that. They're compelled enough and angry enough with your lack of customer service that they now have to exploit you. Now, I don't know about a lot of you guys, but a good business or businesses in general are gonna ask for feedback. They're gonna want you to leave a review because it's gonna help potential buyers understand and see the experience that other people have gotten on if they should even purchase. Now, if your reviews are bad, that can turn customers away. And you have to think about stuff like that. Why wouldn't you want feedback from customers so it can help you develop your business? It can help your business grow. That's the whole point of feedback. Feedback is not there for it to just sit. It's there so you can take that as a stepping stone to get better. That's the whole point of feedback. Or else, what people can do is instead of leaving you feedback, they can talk bad and ill about your business to other people and then have people just never go to your business. Because one of the biggest exploitations of a business is by word of mouth, and anyone can tell you that. It's one of the biggest marketing tools because people talk. Everybody's talking about the latest fashion, cars, shoes, clothes. Everyone's talking about that. So you should never get too cocky to the point where you feel like you got this and you don't need feedback. You don't need nobody's help because you're popular. Popularity is only going to get you so far. Because you could become a lame as quick as you became popular. And that's just real talk. And I'm someone who relies heavily on others' feedback. When I'm going to purchase a product, best believe the first place I'm going to, aside from the description tab, I'm going to the reviews to see how everybody else felt about it. So if you're someone who doesn't even think to ask for feedback, or you get defensive the moment someone gives you a word of advice, because I mean, there's room for improvement in every business. No business is perfect. So if you're someone who doesn't value feedback, you don't care for it, then I'm definitely going to be a customer that side-eyes you, because that tells me already that you're not in it for the passion. This is not something you genuinely value or care about. I've seen businesses that are vets in the game who've been doing their business for, let's say, 5-6 years, who have a decent amount of followers, but then there's this newer business that comes that's been here for 2 years and they have over 1 million followers and they're making over $1 million. They're a multimillionaire and you're still making in the thousands. Something's not adding up. How are they new, right? And they already surpassed you with their following and with their revenue. Something's telling me you are lacking something and you need to go back to the drawing board to figure out what you could do better. Why you're not as successful. And what mistakes are you making that they're not making? Those are things you got to think about. See, the whole point of having meetings within your business is to go to the drawing board so that you can see what are issues that constantly come up and how you can alleviate those issues. If you're not having meetings about issues that constantly come up and how you can fix it, you don't care about your business, because you're constantly supposed to be looking for how you can be better. There's always room for improvement. So if you don't think twice that, dang, something could be better, I could do better here. If you're not thinking that, you don't care enough about your business succeeding or getting anywhere. You don't care to prosper. And you don't care about your customers, your consumers. And it's not just problems that should be discussed during meetings. It's also about celebrating the small successes. And you also got to be able to celebrate the failures, because if you don't, you wouldn't have known. So at least you know where you need to make the improvements at. Because there are definitely businesses out there that have no idea what they're doing wrong. So celebrate the failures just as much as you celebrate the successes, because now that you are aware of those failures, you can now make strides, take the steps to make the change to become better. Because then you're going to look back and be like, dang, we was doing this wrong, but listen, we came out on top. We got it right. We got it together. Those failures are what make you so much better, because it's a learning experience. You learn that I will not make that mistake again. So you're not starting from the beginning. You're starting from a place of growth. You're not having to start all over like some people are going to have to start from scratch. You're starting from a place of experience, a place of knowledge. So celebrate those, understand those, accept them, acknowledge it. Because if you're not acknowledging your shortcomings, you can never grow. You can never be better, because you're not even accepting the fact that you need to improve. You're just making excuses for yourself. And making excuses only makes you fail even more. Because once you acknowledge your failure, the only way you can go is up. If you're not acknowledging where you're falling short at, you're going to keep going down, or you're going to remain constant, because you're not going nowhere. You're not trying to go anywhere. So now, the issue that I ran into with this particular business. This business sells a piece of clothing that it's not high in demand for most people. So it was easy for her business to be lifted off the ground, because she was one of few doing what she was doing. So it's easy to gain popularity when you're one of few, or if the only person who started a certain creative idea up, versus you contributing to a certain area that's already oversaturated, because then you'd have to compete with so many other people doing the same thing you're doing, regardless of you doing it differently. you still have to compete with people doing the same thing. But with her business, not many people are doing the same thing. So I've been following her for a few years now because I was interested in purchasing a product from her. And I'm seeing that she had the same issue 3 years ago now, which only tells me that she doesn't take into consideration any of the feedback that she's been given. And from what I've observed, she has been getting a lot of feedback, but has taken into consideration none. Because if she had, she wouldn't be having the same issue that she's had 3 years ago. So you are not growing. Your following is growing, but you as a business is not growing. You, in fact, are staying the same. So I go on Instagram and I see that she posted a screenshot of a customer expressing concerns to her. That customer was basically explaining that how can you tell your potential customers that you have stuff in stock, but the moment they go to your site, there is nothing there. Now, I can attest to that because anytime I've gone on this woman's website, I shit you guys not, 75% of her inventory is unavailable. Now, I don't know about you guys, but as a consumer, that is downright disrespectful and inexcusable. You have a business that's supposed to be constantly running, but whenever someone goes to your site, you have nothing available for anyone to purchase. And a customer expresses this concern to you, and your only response to her is that, why are you writing me on my personal page? So, me as an observer now, I'm looking at it like, well, there's a reason she's writing you on your personal page. The only conclusion I can come to is that you don't respond to emails and you don't respond to DMs. So you've left her no choice but to write you on your personal page. Because had you been responding to emails or DMs, if you accept that, she wouldn't have had to resort to writing you on your personal page. Now, the part that initially I was side-eyeing is the fact that she was even compelled to post a screenshot of a concerned customer. That alone in and of itself is just super unprofessional. It's unprofessional. And not only did you post that to try to tell people not to write you on your personal page, you did it knowing that your followers were going to attack her. And they did. They did just that. As you scroll through the comments, all you see are sheep. And for those of you guys who don't know what sheep are, they're basically a bunch of people who are easily influenced by someone popular or powerful or whoever has authority on social media. So you follow whatever they say, even though you don't truly believe it or agree to it, you just follow the herd. So you're basically just a follower. But we call them sheep because they blindly follow, and they're ignorant, and they're easily influenced. They don't have a mind of their own. First of all, this customer that you are serving, these customers that put money in your pocket, these customers that help keep your business afloat, you decide to personally and publicly attack her and then have your followers attack her simply because she expressed a concern. So now you have all these little girls in her comments telling and kissing her ass, telling her how crazy this girl sounds simply because this girl says, you make a post about having everything in stock. I go to your site and there's nothing there. And when you look at everyone's comments, their comments aren't considerate. It's not everyone looking at it from the customer's point of view. Everyone's seriously being sheep at this point. They're only looking at it from the business owner's point of view. And you have to understand, we get We understand how hard it is to be a business owner. But we don't have to. As consumers, that's not our business to care. You as a business owner, it's your responsibility to make sure you have a plan and that you have everything put together. It's your responsibility as a business owner to have the knowledge to run a business, to have a plan B if anything happens. The foundation, the groundwork, the layout, the blueprint should have all been planned and figured out before you decided to start your business. So in no way, shape, or form are you supposed to place work on the consumer as a business owner aside from them swiping their card. So her response is then, as well as her sheep followers, is you just need to be quicker. So I'm like baffled at that being the response, because I'm like, how dare you say to her, you just need to be quicker. And it's not you need to be quicker on exclusives. It's you need to be quicker when it come to me. Be quicker with your transaction. Nobody's waiting on you. And I understand nobody is waiting. However, as a consumer, the transaction is supposed to be smooth. No one should have to rush to make a purchase every time when it comes to your business. Because at that point, you're putting the responsibility on the consumer where you're lacking. It's not a customer issue, it's a business issue. That's now an issue that your business is having, and you need to find out how to resolve that issue. There has to be a way to remedy it. The remedy isn't, oh, you guys need to turn on your post notifications and be ready with your card. You need to just hurry up. You need to rush. That should never be the answer. And that's also not good customer service. So because I am straightforward and outspoken and I'm not a follower, I take it upon myself to give her feedback. As someone who's a potential customer, I give her feedback. So people forget, part of supporting a Black business is providing advice, telling them where they can do better, giving feedback, giving reviews. Supporting Black business isn't just only swiping your card and making a purchase. You could like something, you could share a post, you can make a comment, you can tell a friend, word by mouth. But the moment it's something you don't like to hear, you're defensive. You're not taking it as help. You're taking it as hate, because then she goes on to call everyone haters. No one's hating, baby girl. We all want to see you win. But when you're in the wrong, you're in the wrong. And people don't like being told when they're wrong. And that's issue number one. You're so used to your sheep followers kissing your ass that anyone that doesn't give you that type of treatment is a hater. And that's not necessarily the case. That's if the case at all.
If I was truly a hater, I would go around telling everybody how shitty you are and blasting you on your page, on my page, on my story. That's what a hater does. But instead of doing that, I decided to directly address you and say what you need to do better as a consumer and what I've observed. But no, I'm a hater because I told you what was real and I was honest, and you don't like honesty. Because let's be real here, a lot of people don't like honesty, and she's clearly one of them. A hater wouldn't care enough to even waste their breath. A hater wouldn't be trying to purchase your product. A hater wouldn't be following you, because I was following her and I was interested in one of her pieces. So people throw around that hater term way too much. You gotta know who your actual haters are. And little does she know, if she keeps going at the rate that she's going, her business is it's not going to thrive, but she's going to lose her followers. And she's also going to lose her loyal customers, because those loyal customers are soon going to feel it, because her following can only get bigger because no one else is really doing what she's doing. So that demand is going to increase. The more that demand increases, the more issues she's going to run into. And I don't think she's grasping that concept. Soon, your loyal customers are going to not have access, and then they're going to be mad. And then they're going to now start saying how much of an issue it is for them. Because that's how a lot of females operate. That's how a lot of people operate. It's not a problem for a while. And then once it starts to become a problem for them, that's when they want to be real with you. That's when they want to be honest. Why weren't you honest from the get-go instead of enabling her? Because the more you enable someone, the more they see it as not a problem. You got to tell them and check them at the front door so that they know to fix it immediately. And that goes into with people not respecting and leveraging different realities. Just because your experience was great and may have been good doesn't mean someone else's experience is good. So I hate to see comments where someone's explaining how they didn't have the best experience, and then you have that sheep, you have that closed-minded person saying, oh, well, I had a great experience. That doesn't mean, and that doesn't take away from her bad experience. It's actually super offensive when you do that. Yes, you had a great experience. I'm happy for you. However, I didn't have a good experience. Sally didn't have a good experience. Sam didn't have a good experience. It's great that you did, though, but you're not going to sit here and take away from me expressing my truth. You're not going to do that.
So in my response, I basically address the comments that I'm seeing, not necessarily her per se, but I address all the comments because essentially they're enabling her. They're allowing her to think that her inadequacies are okay, and they're not. If you guys were actual loyal customers, and if you guys were real customers that wanted to see her grow, you would be open and honest with her about where she can do better. So I basically explained that the comments that I'm seeing lack knowledge of supply and demand, and anyone who is or was a business major, or if you're currently in business, you completely understand what I'm saying. Supply and demand is very huge when it comes to business. That's a part of basic microeconomics. And if you don't know that, why are you running a business? So then I say to her, you know, as a consumer and a fellow business owner, this type of feedback, this negative feedback, should be taken into consideration for growth, not as to be offensive. There should be adequate supply so that enough of your customers have access. There's already enough capitalism going on in the world. There's already enough of that. So with her, it's like she wants her customers to compete every time for her product. The sole reason why we support Black businesses is because it provides access to Black people, and so that we can start to generate and increase the wealth within the Black community. Rather, she's creating a hostile environment. Having people compete for your product consistently is doing the complete opposite of that. We support Black-owned businesses is because we would think they would have our best interests at heart. I then explained to her that stating that she has to be quick is not only inconsiderate of people's times and schedules, but avoids the fact that you even have adequate supplies available for as popular as you are or are getting. No one should have to rush to make a purchase. That's basically my standpoint. And I was the only one who made a comment of that nature. Other comments were either kissing her ass or actually complaining about how her services aren't fair. If you looked through her comments, you've seen a bunch of people complaining about her always never having inventory, everything always being sold out, or people missing items, or people saying that they made a purchase and then getting emails saying that the very purchase that they were able to make that went through is all of a sudden sold out. Like, that's just baffling to me. So instead of her understanding me as a consumer and taking that feedback to say, you know what? I see what she's saying. Let me see where I can grow and take this feedback and come harder. She starts to make excuses for herself instead. She tells me that what I'm seeing is not the case because she ships thousands of orders and that each design is exclusive. And then she says it's always been this way. And then she starts to compare herself to bigger companies that are not having the issues that she's having. So she starts to compare herself to brands like Apple and Jordan. You're not Apple and Jordan. And let's be real, they have less customers complaining about having access than you do. And you're a much smaller company than they are. Then she goes on to say, I'm a creator, not a machine. Quality over quantity. But my thing is, sweetheart, you have neither. There's no quality or quantity. And just by you saying that tells me that quantity isn't a priority for you at all. But then in the same breath, you said that's not the case because you ship out thousands. Now, her telling me that she ships out thousands, that does nothing for her argument. Because if we want to do calculations and math, and trust me, I have, my point is valid. Based on the calculations I've made from the information that she's provided, which she only made herself look more crazy, less than a quarter of her customers have access to her supply. That's crazy to me. Not even a quarter. Not even a quarter of the people that visit your site is getting your supply. So what are you doing? I tell her that I overstand quality over quantity. However, you're not providing either of those. And let's be real, you can't please everyone. But with her, she can please more people than she's making the effort to. There's no effort. You're disappointing more people than you're actually pleasing. Let's be real about that. And I had to explain to her, no one should have anxiety over making a purchase. And I had to also explain that the ratio of demand for a product in comparison to the supply available with time, with the consideration of time, this is the situation, sweetheart. This is the case. Regardless of how you see it, because you're stuck in your own thought system. You're only seeing things from your perspective as a business owner. You're not putting yourself in the consumer's shoes. And I'm pretty sure she's bought something before and had a bad experience. So for her to then turn around and be a business owner and give people horrible experiences, it's like, how dare you, especially as a sister. So, in your head, in your perspective, you may think you are very well doing amazing because you ship out thousands, but shipping out thousands don't mean shit if your ratio of demand far out exceeds that supply. And it does. And according to your customers, it's the case. Your ratio is off. And I had to explain to her that there were several times I went to your site and inventory, more than half of inventory is sold out. Which tells me you're more popular than you probably think that you are, and you didn't plan. And in response to the popular companies, they typically have a surplus of product so that they're not constantly restocking. They calculate that and have a plan in place for situations where their demand may exceed their supply so that everyone has equal access. You, on the other hand, you don't have that because, like you explained, everything on your site isn't exclusive. And that's something else I want to address. That's also not good business. When everything on your site is exclusive, that limits the quantity that you have every time. So that means every time there's not even a handful, there's thousands of people who are not getting access to your product because everything's an exclusive. Now, in business, if you know about exclusivity drives demand. And it drives demand because it increases the value, because that means that because there's a limited quantity, everyone can't get that product. Now, that only further proves my point. Your demand is far exceeding your supply. And it's not once or twice, it's every single time. As a business, you're supposed to have things that you normally restock on. You're supposed to have things that are always there. Everything should not be an exclusive. But for her, she's constantly running into the issue that she's been running in for 3 years because she literally has limited stock on everything she puts out. So now you're losing customers. Now you're losing revenue. Why would you not want to maximize your revenue by having certain material that's there? That's a regular. And her response is just her saying that she knows her company is popular and they've been doing this whole trend for 4 years, and there's other countries and people trying to mock her business, and she knows what she's doing. It's obvious that she has the formula and know what to do. And then her response ends with, people just have to be quicker when ordering if they want it bad enough. And that's just that. Horrible. Just horrible. So her response in saying that, so it's obvious we have the formula and we know what to do, is only telling me that you have the formula to become popular, not to maintain a decent business. Because if you have the proper tools to maintain a successful business, your business will be successful. And you wouldn't be having the issue that you're having, which is unsatisfied customers and not enough supply. Therefore, you do not have the formula. You do not have the proper calculations, and you don't know what to do. So she gets upset and she tells me to go away, all because I told her that she doesn't have good customer service and that decent business-minded people would not tell customers to be quicker than that. So looking back at it, I end up getting a lot of likes on my comment. And being that she's someone who prefers popularity over customer service, I can tell it bothered her that she didn't get as much likes as she thought she would on her responses. And as someone who wasn't kissing her ass, I had a whole bunch of people agreeing with me according to the likes and the comments that I was receiving. So she was then compelled to make a separate video. It seemed like it was like in response to my comment, because my comment was the only one that was getting action, you know what I mean? So she makes that separate video in response to my comment, in response to other people making comments. And she's basically showing how many orders she gets per restock. Now, she restocks about 2 to 3 times a month, which is average because you're not supposed to be restocking too much. But then that looks crazy because you're only restocking 2 to 3 times, and you're not restocking enough during those times because you're selling out as soon as you restock. So now because of that, you're having your customers wait an unnecessary amount of time to get your product. So now they're losing interest in your product and your company, your brand altogether, and they're looking elsewhere. Now that's not a problem. It's easy for them to just go elsewhere to go look, but they came to you for a reason and you let them down. It's more about how you're going about the exclusivity versus the exclusivity in and of itself. Because I'm not saying there's an issue with exclusivity, okay? You can have that, but the ratio has to be a reasonable ratio for the amount of visitors that visit your site to purchase monthly. You can't have 500,000 people visiting your site per month and only 1,000 inventory per style. That doesn't make any sense. You have to know how to calculate that, because that in turn is going to maximize or not your revenue. And it's also going to affect your return customers. You have to know what items are popular or what colors that you've noticed is popular. You have to be able to track and monitor patterns. And that's when you make those items exclusive. But you should have regular priced items, like regular items that people like and they can come back, and even new customers can come back and purchase. But when you have a new customer or a new follower come in and look at your site and there's nothing for them to purchase, that leaves a bad taste in anyone's mouth. And then you even have new customers that's purchased with her and complain about her services not being up to par. That's bad for your reputation. And a business's reputation is what holds all of that together. There should be enough supply to match your demand, even if you want to be exclusive. Because you can still be exclusive and have enough supply so that enough people are having access. Just imagine going to a site, right? And every time you go to that site, almost everything is sold out. How crazy does that look to you as a consumer? As soon as you go to a new site, everything is sold out. Of course, that's going to tell you, wow, they're very popular, but that's also going to tell you that they don't maintain, or they don't know how to maintain, or don't care to maintain. So moving forward back to her video, in her video, she's basically just explaining how many orders she gets per restock. Now, it shows that she was in the 20,000s for her restock. So I started to do math when she did her video because I understand that numbers lie. But you also have to be able to utilize common sense. Just because someone placed an order doesn't mean that it's going to be fulfilled. Because in that comment section underneath her video, you see comments of customers saying they placed an order, but then they're receiving emails saying that that stuff is sold out, but they were able to place an order. Then you see other people saying that they didn't receive anything of what they ordered, like this company didn't even try to get their order right. And then another girl said that she was actually missing items from her package. And so that tells me that you're not having enough on hand because people are missing stuff. You're telling people that you're sold out and people are receiving the incorrect packages. So as someone who took statistics a few times, I took it in grad school and I took it in undergrad, and I was a straight A student in statistics, so much that my professor asked me to tutor it and I ended up tutoring statistics. You tend to have a different outlook on numbers because you understand that data can be manipulative. So it does sound great that she's in the 20,000 range for orders, but when you're really looking in hindsight, there are people who are missing stuff from their orders or people who are placing orders, but they're not getting their shipment. So this now compels me to do math, right? Now, side note, she just kept bragging about how many orders she has. She didn't show us, which would have been beneficial. She didn't show us how many visitors she gets per month. She doesn't show us what actually goes out and is shipped to customers. She only showed us who placed orders and at what time. That doesn't do anything for your argument. That's only telling me they were able to place an order. That doesn't tell me they're going to get their order. Now, based on her following, she has over 160 followers. Now, I based her website traffic on that. Now, we also have to consider the fact that there are people who are viewing her website that don't follow her. So if she has over 160 followers, we can't assume that all 160 of those followers are going to view her website. So as an estimate, I decided, you know, let me do a math of about 75% of people visiting her website out of that 160 something or 170 followers that she has. And that's including people that don't follow her but have bought from her or are looking at her material. Now, when you divide that by the 20 something thousand orders that she has or that was placed, the number that you get is 21%. That tells you that only 21% out of everyone viewing her website per month are able to actually make a purchase. That doesn't mean they're getting the product, they're actually able to make the purchase. So if you're able to make the purchase at 21%, I can only imagine what the number is of the people who are actually receiving product.
I've even went as far as to do it at 50% instead of 75%. And even so, it's still way too low. It only bumped it to 31%, which is 10% more than the 21%. So the way it looks to me is that she's using the same formula that she had when she had fewer followers, when she has way more right now. You can't use that same formula because your ratio is going to be too off. So I'll give you guys an example. I'm a makeup artist, so I'll give you guys a makeup example. Say I have 5 clients when I start off, and I only have 3 foundations. Now, with those 3 foundations, I can make 6 combinations to match 6 different skin tones. So that is my ratio, 5 to 6.
if I gained 15 more clients, now making it 20 clients, would it make sense for me to use the same three foundations on the new 15 clients that I just gained? Just think about that. Because now that I have more clientele, that means there's more skin types, more undertones, different complexions. So that means I would have to go out and do what? Increase my supply, right? I would now have to go get more foundations to cover the range of the clientele that I just gained. It makes no sense for me to try to work with the three foundations I have with the new 20 clients that I have. So now let's go even further with how much supply she should have. And this is considering that she still wants to be exclusive with her items. So for example, let's say she has 20 styles on her website, because of course she's not going to have one style and everyone's not going to like that one style. Everyone's going to order different styles. Now with that 75%, if you divide that by the 20 styles, that will tell you how much she should have to cover for everyone. But since she wants to be exclusive, she can actually order a little less than that, just to maintain that exclusivity. But not too much to the point where if everyone wanted that piece, almost no one's getting it. At least make sure that half of your customers are able to get it. Now, then the argument becomes, well, what if she has a surplus amount of supply? That all goes into the supply and demand and how you calculate it. And you also have to be able to monitor what is most popular. So the colors that you notice that people tend to be drawn to more, the designs, the styles, you have to be able to track that with your business. That's how you know to decrease the surplus so that you're not losing money. It's all business. And it's very simple to just take a business course. People think it's easy to just jump into a business because they want to make money and they want to have several streams of income. It's not going to be easy, and no one ever said it was going to be easy. It's up to you to put the work in. Because at the end of the day, you're catering to the public, and that's not something to play with. Lawsuits are very real. And people forget that. If you mess up, people can easily win a lawsuit. And over the smallest stuff, you wouldn't even believe. You shouldn't be running a business and less than a quarter of your customer base has access to your product. Less than a quarter sounds actually crazy. Apple isn't doing that. Since she wanted to compare herself to Apple, Jordan isn't doing that. If I wanted to go get an iPhone or a MacBook right now, guess what? They have enough in stock for me to go and purchase one. If I wanted to go get a piece of her material, I couldn't go get that right now because she has nothing available. That's all the difference between her business and their business. More than a quarter of people who own a smartphone has an iPhone, and that's because it's accessible. So reverting back to my conclusion that she doesn't respond to emails, hence the reason being that customer had to even find her personal page to contact her. When you look in the comment section, you see one girl begging her to respond to emails because she doesn't respond to emails. And then the other girl that was missing items from her package claims that she had emailed this business owner 2 weeks prior and still did not receive a response. The average turnaround time for a business to respond to emails is 24 hours. This girl has been waiting for 2 weeks. That speaks volumes on your time management skills and your organizational skills. So this girl commenting that she sent you an email 2 weeks ago and hasn't gotten a response because she paid for items that she is missing looks bad. Because this girl spent her hard-earned money for items that she didn't even receive. So that is a matter of urgency. And it shouldn't be taken lightly. Because I'm sure if she spent her money and didn't receive an item, and she's reached out to a company for weeks and hasn't gotten a response, I'm sure she would be panicking as well. So then, of course, one of her sheep respond to the girl, and it wasn't her place to respond to the girl because it honestly had nothing to do with her. She then says, well, I would have just DM'd this. Well, one, the business owner doesn't recommend people DM her. She doesn't want people to DM her. And two, you saw the result of someone DMing her. She put them on blast on her business page and then had people attacking her. So no, it's not a good idea that she DM her. Because then the business owner responds to that sheep, telling that sheep, no, that's actually not good advice. I tell people not to DM me. She just needs to be patient. No, she does not need to be patient. This is her money we're talking about. This is her money that you are playing with. The turnaround time is 24 hours and she's waited over 2 weeks. That is ridiculous and so unprofessional. People don't need to be patient when it comes to their money. Now, it's an argument about your time management skills. And that's the problem with her. She keeps putting the work on the customer and not on herself. It's not their responsibility to make up for where you are lacking. You are inadequate and you need to take the steps to make sure that you are perfecting your business. No one's saying it all has to be perfect at the beginning, but you're not even trying to make it perfect. Instead of her having proper business etiquette and updating her customers, she says, you guys just need to be patient. Versus, I'm sorry, you guys, I know my responses have been a bit delayed because I'm busy working on getting your packages together. I will try to respond to emails as quickly and efficiently as possible. You guys just need to be patient. Like, are you serious? When the turnaround time for responding to an email is 24 hours and they've been waiting for 2 weeks or more, they no longer have to be patient. Now it's on you to be more efficient. Because they spent their hard-earned money and didn't get what they paid for. So said customer continues to say to her, well, it's been 2 weeks, that's long enough. And I'm just letting you know, I just want what I paid for. And I'm seeing that there's definitely room for improvement in your business. I'm not here to argue, but you do need to make some improvements. Now you have multiple customers telling you that improvements need to be made, but instead you keep saying, oh, you guys just need to do this. You guys just need to do that. No, what you need to do, because it's your business and your reputation on the line, you need to make some improvements. That's all that needs to happen here. And then her followers just keep trying to make excuses for her. So that sheep that responded to that customer was trying to make it seem as though the customer was just misunderstanding the business or the situation, when in fact the customer was well aware of the situation and how the package worked, because apparently there was some type of deal. It was just that she hasn't been responded to. Then you have followers saying that, you know, she goes above and beyond for her followers. I beg to differ. If she goes above and beyond for her customers, she would make sure that enough of them have access to her product. She would also respond to emails in a timely fashion and keep them updated. If she goes above and beyond, she would accept feedback without being defensive and rude and initiate the steps to better her business. She also wouldn't have customers waiting an unreasonable amount of time for a restock or for a faulty order just for her not to fix the issue. A business owner that goes above and beyond for her customers wouldn't post a screenshot of a concerned customer and drag her and then have her followers drag her. That's not someone who goes above and beyond. Then to top that off, we're giving you feedback, and instead of accepting that feedback, you're upset and you're going off and you're telling us to go away. And you're making response videos. That's not a business owner that goes above and beyond, and that's not a business owner that cares about her customers. There were even individuals saying that they've been trying to place an order since December. You guys, at the time of this incident, we were in April. That's an easy for sure way to drive away customers. Then the business owner proceeds to say, well, I feel bullied. I don't know what to do. I don't know what they want from me. Funny, because you just posted a screenshot of a customer and had your followers attack her. That's cyberbullying. but now that that energy is reciprocated, you can't handle it. Being that you never know how someone can perceive the activity on your page or respond to it, you should be careful on the content that you're posting on your business page. Again, I was the only one who made a comment of that nature. It wasn't until I made that comment that people started to really express how they felt, because that's what happens. People don't say anything out of fear of being bullied or attacked online. I had one girl reach out to me through my DMs thanking me for saying something and speaking up, because she's been wanting to say something to this girl for the longest time but just couldn't put it into the right words and felt like I explained it perfectly. And that just goes to show that there are people who want to speak up and want to say something, but they're just afraid to, or they don't know how to put it in words so that they're not being offensive or so that they're not being attacked. And here's my take on it. Some things just need to be said. I tend to be very outspoken and controversial, but that's okay with me. As long as I'm standing and living my truth and speaking my own mind without outside influences, I'm totally okay with being controversial. Because let's be honest, almost everyone's thoughts are controversial. You just don't say it out loud. And you see all the time where that one person who doesn't care, they'll speak their mind, and then you'll see other people be like, I'm so happy you said what I was thinking out loud. Sometimes you need that person to say out loud what you've been wanting to say so that they can give you the courage to live in your truth. You can only make the world a better place by changing bad habits. If you just let bad habits go on, the world's not going to get better. It's cliche, but they always say it. Be the change you want to see. You can't be the change by being a sheep and just following the herd or just remaining quiet. That's not going to get you anywhere. And a lot of people don't like me because I don't stay quiet. I speak my mind. But that just shows you who was weak from the beginning. And the thing is, this girl was really hurt because she continued to make more videos and she still wasn't proving her point. It was like, girl, just give it up. Like, I said what I said. It is what it is. The only way you can get better is to just take the feedback and move on. But to continue making videos to try to make it seem like you're shipping out so much, it's just like, it looks pathetic at this point. Especially because those videos still aren't proving anything. They're proving nothing. She admitted to taking a look at other businesses in comparison to hers and said that they weren't receiving the backlash that she was receiving. So at that point, she's now questioning herself, which she should be, because now that she was made aware that there are issues, she can now look at other businesses to see what she can take, what she can learn from them. But the energy that she was putting off in looking at other businesses wasn't that she wanted to have a takeaway from it, but to prove some point that she's the only one receiving backlash, like she was taking it personally. Those companies are probably not receiving the backlash that you're receiving because their customers are far more satisfied. They're probably responding to emails in a timely fashion. They probably took a couple professionalism courses, business courses, career courses, so they know how to measure and stock for their supply and their demand. And they're also open to feedback. That's most likely the reason why they're not receiving the backlash that you're receiving. And they're also not having every item on their site as an exclusive. All that's being asked of you is to be open and accept feedback being given, because you're clearly not open to it. Whenever you are provided with feedback, you're taking it personal and you're getting defensive and making excuses. You telling me that you ship out thousands says nothing to me. You can have a million followers and telling me that you ship out thousands. With a million followers, why are you only in the 1,000 range? 1,000 is nothing to a million. any smart person knows that it's based on the interpretation of the data. Because again, it can be manipulative. It sounds great when you can argue that you ship out thousands. However, you left out the part where only 21% of people are able to place an order. And less than that is actually getting their order. Show me how many visitors you get on your website per month. And also show me how many orders are actually fulfilled, not placed. Simply saying that you ship out thousands doesn't convince me because I don't buy into the bullshit. People can tell you anything, anything that could sound good to be of their advantage. But when you start digging deep, you start to see the truth. We're told to support black business, and the moment we do, we're experiencing unprofessionalism, disrespect, delayed orders, messed up orders. I'm going to hold you to the same standard that I hold these white companies, if not a higher standard. Don't tell me to support black businesses if I can't hold them accountable for their actions. I won't even get into the fact that a lot of black-owned businesses overcharge for a lot of their services and product, and then turn around and put that money back into white businesses. They're now buying designer Louis Vuitton and Gucci. I mean, you can do what you want with your money, but you guys preach for us to support black businesses, but they're turning around supporting white businesses. So I tell you guys about this experience because I want to bring awareness to the fact that there is a problem within our black community as it pertains to black-owned businesses. I see often people make comments about us not wanting to support black-owned businesses simply because we don't want to see each other win and because these are our own people. And that couldn't be further from the truth. We have to see some sort of improvement. We have to believe in it to want to support it, not simply because you're black. If you're giving me bad service, if you're overcharging me, why would I want to support that? You're not benefiting me in any way. You're only making my life more difficult. There has to be some sort of resolve because this is going to just go downhill. We have to be able to take accountability for where we're falling short. You're not going to get a pass. No one in life is getting passes unless they're just that lucky. Do better. Word of advice, take a couple classes, take a course, educate yourself, but do better. That's all I have to say. And that is the end of season 1, episode 2 of Black-Owned Businesses. I'll catch you guys on the next one.